Hi, I'm Ian Griffiths, and this is a talk from the Building Business Applications with Silverlight 4 series. We're going to look now at how to edit individual entities in a Silverlight front end. So in previous talk, we showed how to display a list of events in our Event Manager application. But we're going to want to edit a specific event one at a time. We're going to be able to create sets of tracks that define the event, the talks that take place in those tracks. And to try and do that across all the events in the entire application doesn't really make any sense. So we're going to have a page for editing a particular event, which means looking a little bit at the navigation features of Silverlight so that we can navigate to a particular URL to represent the event. But also we need to look at things like how we create new events and how we fetch the data for an individual event. So, to begin with, we'll look at the navigation aspects. We're going to want to fetch and edit one event at a time, and there's two pieces we have to get right here. We've got to load just the data we want, and we've got to generate a URL and navigate there. So the code on this slide shows the data aspect of this. And we've got to get this right on both the client and the server side. On the server side, we need to make sure we don't return too many entities. On the client side, we need to make sure that we tell the server which particular entity we're interested in. One approach to this is to write a custom method on your service. And this could be true whether it's a WCS service or a RIA service, as we're using in this example. And you can just pass in the ID of the event you're interested in and get back the data that way. And the client needs to make sure it configures the query appropriately. But there's other ways we could do this, particularly if we're using WCF RIA services. When you build a new RIA service on top of something like Entity Framework or Link to SQL, the fetching methods, the methods that get new data, all return a type called iQueryable. So for example, the method we're using to fetch the events returns an iQueryable of event. And that's a standard link interface. So both Link to SQL and Link to Entities both provide this. But the RIA services framework knows how to consume that. So they support a feature they call composability. And composability simply means that it's possible for the client to specify the criteria it would like to use when fetching data. So although the method is able to return all of the entities of a particular type, I'm allowed to be more selective. On the client side, I can build a link query that uses, for example, a where clause to say, I only want the data for this particular event, or I only want talks that are related to this particular track. And the query actually ends up getting sent by RIA services to the server, and then interpreted on the server. So the server actually runs the query, even though we wrote the code on the client. And then I just get back the entities I'm interested in. So I can do this with a link query, or I can even do this through the domain data source wrapper that the RIA services wizard gives me when I drag a data grid onto the form. So I've got a number of options here. Once I've got the data, then I've got to present it to the user. Now, previously we've used a data grid, and that's suitable when you're showing lots of different items. But if you're editing an individual item, as we plan to here, then using more ordinary Silverlight data binding makes more sense. So we're going to have a series of text boxes and similar editable fields, checkboxes and combo boxes, those sorts of things. And we're going to bind them to properties of the entities that represent the model objects that came back from the server. And binding in Silverlight uses a fairly straightforward syntax in the XAML. You can assign, for example, the text property of a text box rather than giving it a fixed textual value. If you say in curly brackets binding, you can say I'd like this property to be connected to some property of my data source. For example, I could bind a text box to the title of an event entity. And that way, when the entity loads, the text box will display the title property. And if the user edits the title property, that can be pushed back in to the entity. So that if we then try and save the changes, that will get written back into the database. So the important features of the binding syntax are the path property, which says which particular element is being bound to which particular property of the data source. There's also the mode, which expresses the direction in which data travels. Data may be traveling in one direction only, for example. You might want to display data with binding without being able to edit it. Or it might be a two-way binding, where it will both display data and allow the user to change the data. And then finally, we need to indicate what the source of the binding expression is. And that might be done implicitly. There are situations in which the binding can work that out for itself. Or it might be done explicitly. We can set a source property, or we can point it at a particular element in the visual tree and say, that other control there, that's going to be my data source. Now, when we use the Visual Studio tools to set up bindings, then it will automatically generate these things for us. But it's important to be familiar with the syntax because this controls how we edit our data in Silverlight applications. So for the navigation, the template we're using here, we're using the Silverlight business application template for our example. It actually uses the built-in navigation services in Silverlight, and we're going to exploit that to make it possible to do things like bookmarking the page for a particular event. So an administrator might want to be able to go straight to the editing page for the event that they're responsible for, rather than having to navigate through the application every single time they run it. So we're going to use what is logically one page, one URL, for each entity of a particular type. So when we go to the page in the first place, when we offer the user the ability to get to the editing page, we're going to have to build a unique URL, which is a pretty straightforward thing to do. We're just going to embed the ID of the entity into the URL's query string. And then on the page itself, we can use the navigation context property of the page to retrieve the query string that was used to navigate to us in the first place, and that's how we can work out which entity we require. When it comes to editing the event, the RIA Services framework does most of the work for us. When we bind to an entity and edit its properties, it remembers which things have changed and which things haven't, so that when we want to push the changes back, all we have to do is call the submit changes method exposed by the domain data source. So once we've edited the data in the UI, we can push the changes back to the server by simply calling the submit changes method offered by the domain data source. This will build a message that sends all of the things that have changed, all of the properties we've edited, and also any entities we may have created or deleted. It'll build a single message, send that back to the server, and then the server-side part of RIA Services will process that message and work out which methods it needs to call on the underlying service for us. Obviously, if we're not using domain services, then we're going to have to work out how to do it ourselves. So if you're using raw WCF web services or REST services, then obviously you can still do this sort of thing, but you've got more work to do. So let's take a look at how to do this. So the first thing I need to do is add a page that's going to represent the event editor. So I'm going to add a new item to the views folder. The views folder is where we put pages for our application. I'm going to call this one edit event. And we need to be able to navigate to that whenever the user wants to look at a particular event. They're going to get there from the home page, which remember contains a list of all the events in a data grid. So what I'll do is I'm going to add a button to my user interface. Let me just position that in the grid there by hand. I'm going to call this edit event button. I'm going to set the caption to be edit event. And a click handler for this, I need to navigate to the event edit page, but I need to do so based on the ID of the selected items. The first thing I'm going to do is work out what item is currently selected. So we're going to extract the current event object from the data grid. The event class I'm using here, this has been imported for me by RIA Services. So this represents an entity in my database, something from the event table. So this will be selected event. And I'm going to get the selected item property from the event data grid, cast that to an event, and if that came back as non-null, dig out the event ID, and then we're going to navigate to the page for that event. We're going to build a URL that contains the event ID in the query string and then navigate to that. Now, actually, we need to do this in a couple of places. We need to do it here when we edit an existing event. We're also going to need to navigate to the page for a newly created event. So I'm going to write a helper function called navigate to edit event that takes the ID as an argument. So I can just share the code. So in this event method here, I'm going to build a URI that represents the place I'm navigating to. It'll look like this. It will begin with slash edit event. The way the Silverlight business application template sets up Silverlight's navigation infrastructure is that if you start from slash, it will look for a file in the views, it will look for a class in the views folder named after whatever you put there. So this will navigate to the edit event page that I just added. And then on the end of this, I can add a query string that contains the event ID. So let me just concatenate that on there. and I need to tell the URI class this is going to be a relative URI, otherwise it will throw an exception. And now I simply need to navigate to that target. Because home.xaml is a page, it has access to the navigation service, which provides a navigate method, which will go straight to the page. So let's just run this quickly to see if that's working. There's my list of events as before. I select one of the events. I click the Edit Event button. And we go to a blank page, because I've not written the Edit Event page yet. But you can see Event ID 3. And I should have stuck an equals in there, because that's not quite right. Let me just go and fix that. I want Event ID equals that. And now we are good to go. So the home page is navigating correctly to the Edit Event page. Now over here in the Edit Event page, I need to make sure that I know what that ID is. So I'm going to go to the code behind, and you can see the wizard's already given me an onNavigatedTo method. This is called when the user arrives at this page. And in here, I can actually go and get things out of the query string. So I can say, I'd like to look at my navigation context. Navigation context is a property that gives me access to things about the navigation service, information about the navigation service, such as the query string. And I can just pull out the value of the event ID property of that query string. And then I can attempt to parse that into an actual integer. So let's say event ID. So if we can, I'm going to call int.tryParse, passing in the string and asking it to write that back out like so. So we should have the event ID at this point. Well, now what? Well, I haven't gotten a user interface yet, so there's nothing I can do with this. So the next step is to provide some UI so I can actually work with the event. So I'm going to go back to the XAML, and I'm going to open the data sources window again. So we used this in an earlier talk to get the data grid onto the home page in the first place. But I'm going to do something slightly different now. If you open the drop-down list for any of these entities in the data source window, you can choose what kind of thing gets dragged onto the form. The default for a collection of entities is a data grid, but I can ask instead for a details set of UI elements to be dropped on. If I drag this on now, it'll do much the same thing as it did before. It will create me a domain data source pointing at a domain context for my domain service that we wrote in an earlier talk. But rather than giving me a data grid, it generates me a bunch of text boxes and date editing fields and basically the right kind of control for each of the column types that I've got in my data source. Let's take a quick look at that. If I select one of these text boxes, so there is a text box, and if I scroll along a little, here's its text property. You can see it's using the binding syntax I was discussing earlier. So Visual Studio has built for me a text box whose text property is bound to the event title property of the underlying object, which is an event entity in this case. It's configured it for two-way binding, which is what we want. Not only do I want the data to be shown on screen, so I can see what the current title is, I also want any changes the user types into this text box to be written back to the entity, so that if we submit the changes, they get pushed back into the database. And also they turned on some validation features for us by default that we're going to look at in a different talk. So it builds all these features for me. And I can add, if I go back and turn the toolbars back on, I can add a button that enables me to save any changes that are made. So I can go here and say I'd like to have a Save Changes button. And let's give the caption of Save Changes. And what I'm going to do in the click handler for this is I'm going to ask the domain data source, which remember is the thing that went and fetched the entities from the service in the first place, I'm going to ask it to update the underlying database for me. So in my Save Changes button, I'm going to go to the event domain data source and say I'd like to submit the changes now. That is what causes the change set to be posted back to the web server, and then on the server side, Rear services will process that change set and apply all of the changes for me. So if I run this and choose that second event there, click Edit Event, a problem emerges. What I've not done yet is specify exactly which event I want. I'm still getting a day of UI design, which is actually the first item. If I go back into the list, you can see a day of UI design. So I've not quite completed the job yet. When I fetch the data, when the domain data source fetches all the information for me, because I haven't told it to do otherwise, it's going to get all the UI elements for me. It's going to get all the event elements for me. And then, because I happen to have chosen this detail style editing UI, it just picks the first one because it doesn't know what else to do. So I need to tell it what to do with that event ID. So earlier in my code behind for the edit event page, I remember where we got to is this. In my onNavigator 2, we worked out what the event ID was, but then we've not done anything more with it. So this is the place where we have to do more work. So I can go to my event domain data source and add a filter descriptor. So one of the things the event domain source can do for us, the event domain data source can do for us, is to filter the data. It can provide criteria to the server. It can say, only give me the entities that match the following description. So let's do this. I'm going to build a new filter descriptor, and I can configure it. I can say, what type of filter is this? So I can specify that this is a filter that requires a particular property to be exactly equal to some particular value. So I can say I would like the event ID to be equal to some particular value, which is going to be my event ID. So having added this filter descriptor, that should modify the way in which the domain data source attempts to fetch the data. It should only fetch that one entity. So if I run again, select that second entity, click Edit Event, now the event description, fooing the bar, is the right one. I've only got the one entity I wanted rather than getting the complete collection back. And now, that means I can edit this. If I put new title in here, click Save Changes, go back to the home page, the new title appears there. So when I went back to the home page, it refetched the underlying data from the database and picked up the new title. And just to verify that's the case, we can go and take a look at that in Visual Studio. So if I come out of the debugger here, come out of full screen, and go and take a look at the underlying database, we should be able to see it definitely has made it all the way back. I just want to verify that it hasn't got stuck somewhere in sort of client-side memory and that we're seeing a phantom that will go away next time we run it. So if I look at the data for this table, the event description was what I actually edited because I wasn't paying too close attention to which field I was in. That new string has made it all the way through to the database. So we've been able to edit individual entities. So what I had to do was build myself a query descriptor to say which particular entity I wanted. I had to build a page that showed a sort of details view. And Visual Studio wrote that for me, but it was just using ordinary Silverlight data binding expressions to connect individual fields to properties of the entity, and then was showing me the results. And then I could use Rio Services change tracking to push the results back to the data to the server side, which would then apply them for me to the database. But there's one piece missing. What about creating new events? What if I want to add a new event to the list? I don't yet have this facility, and that's going to be an important thing for event administrators to want to do. And I can do this using the Rio Services features. I don't need to add any extra code to the domain service because it's already created the necessary operations for me. All I have to do on the client side is create a suitable new entity. So I just create a new event object and then add that to the events collection in the domain context object, call submit changes, and it will then create the item for me. So if I go back to my code, I can do this. So if I go to the home page, I can add another button here next to that previous one. Let's call this one new event button. Give it a caption of new event. And add a click handler. So in here, I'm going to create myself a new event object. Now my database has some data integrity constraints. It requires some things to be non-null. So I need to provide an event title. And I'm just going to put some placeholders in here for now. But they need to be non-empty, is the important thing. So we need an event venue name. And we need an event description. And a start date and an end date. Now I need to get this to the server side. Well, I need to program against the domain context. So I'm going to get hold of an event manager event manager domain context, which if I spell it right, is one of the things that Rear Services generates for me. And to this thing's events collection, I can add the newly created entity. And then I can call submit changes on this. Now I'm going to do a little bit more work here because I want to know when the event has been created and has actually made it all the way to the database so that I can then navigate to the editing page for that event. Only once it's been written into the database will I know what the ID of the event is, because I'm using auto-generated event IDs. And so I need to be called back once this is complete. So I've got to provide a callback operation. So let's call this create op. And we just provide a delegate here that will be called for us by Rear Services once the operation is complete. And in here, the new event ID will actually be available to us. So at this point, that will have been filled in because the operation is complete. So I should be able to navigate to the newly created item. So whatever I call that helper function up there, navigate to edit event, I can navigate to the newly created event. So we build the object on the client side. We add it to a domain context. We submit the changes. And then once that submission operation is complete, then it's safe for us to navigate to the new event. So I can create a new event, and you can see I've gone straight to the edit event page with a new ID of 12. That was the next free ID in my database. And you can see the default values I put in here. If I just put something into the title, called this event, save the changes, go back to the home page, I should see an extra item. There it is, event title, this event. So that shows how you can create new entities. So we saw how to edit existing events, how to build a dedicated page for editing specific entities, how to navigate to that for editing those items, and also how to create new entities and then navigate to the relevant page.